series I'm excited about called Double Vision. It's about trouble, being able to see double through trouble. I'm excited about it because I've lived it. And it's real. And it's true. And I love being able to see the Scripture that way. Wow. That's what you did for me, God. That's how you were there for me. And I can see it that way. And I want that for you. Amen? So today's message, Double Vision, Seeing Double Through Trouble. The title today is Responding to Trouble. Y'all with me so far? Y'all ready to go? That's how we do church. If you're here for the first time, we use this big screen. All the Scriptures will be there. Biggest Bible in Englewood. Maybe in the whole area. Amen? Come on. Yeah, praise God. You got that right there. And the one at the new facility is even bigger. It's really big. Amen? And it's in HD, right? That thing's crazy. Amen. Come on. Oh, and it's paid for. Can we thank the Lord for that? Come on. Come on, what I'm talking about. Come on, baby. Here we go. Responding to trouble. How do you respond to trouble? I'm waiting on you, buddy. I'm going to roll with you, brother. Here we go. Although affliction, Job chapter 5. Although affliction or trouble comes not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring up out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as sure as the sparks fly what? Up. Guys, things ain't born out of the ground like a plant. Little plant, yes, that little plant, he got all kind of trouble. He is born for trouble. No, you were. Plant, don't worry about the plant. He's going to be fine, all right? You the problem, and you're the one that's going to have the trouble in your life. You and me, we were born for trouble. Sure as sparks are going to go straight up. You go ahead and figure it out, okay? It's going to happen. Trouble's inevitable to every one of us, and we will all give a response. But it's amazing to me when trouble comes in our life, we're like, oh my God, how'd that happen? Where'd that come from? What planet do you live on? It's called planet Earth, and we're going to have trouble down here, right, church? Okay, you listening? Okay, help me now. So, now before we get going with the message, from the book of Job, when you read the book of Job, but just in general, you can pick up these three thoughts quickly. Number one, three things are going to help us better respond to trouble. We're going to go ahead and get them out front. Then we're going to talk about responding to trouble. Number one, trouble. Listen, it's beyond our human ability to understand all the what. And boy, I need your help, though. You sound asleep. I'm sorry if I'm picking on you. I'm not trying, but I want you all to help me now. Amen? Come on. Come on. Help the preacher up here today. You ever ask why? Say, why? Come on. Help me now. Put your hands up. How many ask guys why? Why? Well, why that happened? Yeah, all the why. Listen, number one, it's beyond your human ability to understand all the whys. Yeah, you're not going to understand all those. Number two, trouble does test. It's a fact. Trouble tests us. Trouble teaches us. Trouble strengthens us. Trouble purifies us. Whether you like it or not, that is a fact. Yes or no? Flat out. Number three. Even if the trouble's so bad in our life and it causes us to lose everything, here's the fact. God remains, and help me on that last part, and God remains, okay? Keep that in mind as we talk about this message today, responding to trouble. Here we go. How do you respond to trouble? And I thought there's nobody better to have a chat with than the man Job. Okay? I mean, you can sit and I can sit and tell people about our trouble, but if Job walked in here, we'd all sit down. Amen. Say, the little things we have, or sometimes the big things even in our life, but Job had it all. I don't know how this man did it, but he did it. It's in the Bible, and we should learn from it. And I think that's one big reason it's in the Bible. So Job's trouble. Not going to read the whole book. It's a long one, about 40 chapters. We're not going to do that this morning. Here we go. 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, even though it sounds like Job, Job. And that man was perfect. That means he was mature. He was a righteous man. He was upright. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil, and he hated evil. He hated unrighteousness. So this was a very, very good man. Y'all seeing that so far? A very good man who loved God and had a relationship with God. So that's who he is. But there's something going on in the heavenlies that we don't understand. It's called spiritual warfare. Y'all understand that? We live here and you got problems here. Hey, there's some stuff going on up here. And we get a little glimpse of it in the book of Job. Satan actually goes before the Lord. Okay? Before the Lord. He goes to and fro in the earth. Seek it. Does the Bible say that Satan is a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may what? Devour. So we see that in the book of Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, where comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and what? Fro. In the earth and from walking up and down in it. That's what Satan does and his demons. It happens. It's the only explanation of the evil in our world. There is no other explanation. Or the evil inside of us and how we're tempted and drawn. It's crazy. Okay? So, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you seen Job? Been to Job's house lately? We wouldn't want God saying that to the devil about us, would we say? We say we wouldn't want him to, but when you think it through, I want him to. Because that's how much he thought of Job's character. Yes or no? Have you considered my servant Job? I just looked at it different this time as I read it. I sort of think the Lord was just wanting to punch Satan right in the mouth. You hear me now say, you know how many people fail, how many people turn on God? And God said, you been to Job's house lately? Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect or mature, spiritually righteous man. He fears me, hates evil. Keep looking. So, what happened in this story? Hang in here with me. This is one story you don't want to miss. Now, these are my words. Satan's number one goal. I saw it this time clearer than I've ever seen it before as I'm reading through the book of Job. Satan's number one goal. Don't be confused. Satan don't have 59 goals. He's got one goal. And I believe I saw it, and I believe I see it clear as crystal. And here it is. Satan's number one goal for trouble. And when trouble comes to our life, Satan's number one goal. Let's look at it. Here we go. Here we go. Then Satan answered the Lord. And he said, yes, but Job fears you for naught. Keep looking. Have you not made a hedge about him? About his house? Who wouldn't fear you and love you, all the good things you're doing for that man? You got him blessed on every side. You blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Keep with me now. But I'm going to tell you something. Satan talking to God. You put forth your hand. You touch everything he has. Say that last part with me. And he will curse you to your face. It's hard for us to imagine battles like this going on, isn't it? Say. Wow. That word cuss, back it up, Raj. That word curse you to his face, curse you to your face, it's the word blame. Satan is saying, you touch him, you cause trouble to come, or you let me throw some trouble at that joker, and he'll blame you. So what is Satan's number one goal? Here it is, pop it up. Satan's number one goal for us. Listen. Is for us to do what? I'm going to tell you right now. Hey, look, I don't cursing God and saying GD, that's horrible. Horrible. I'm going to tell you something worse. Blaming God. You let trouble come in your life and you blame God. If you're lost and you blame God, there's a good chance you'll never receive Christ and you're going to go to hell. If you're a child of God and you blame God, you can't please God. And that's a lack of faith. And it's absolutely destructive to your Christian life. Satan has one goal. Now, this is Gary talking. But as I read this, I believe Satan has one goal. It's for us to blame God. And guys, let's just go ahead and take a test. Be honest. Let's just be really honest right now. How many in this room, somewhere in your life, some trouble in your life, you blamed God?
He's pretty successful, isn't he? Yes or no? He's pretty successful at getting us to blame God. Guys, we need to learn how to respond to trouble. Because trouble comes. Because we're sinners, we live on a sin-cursed earth where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We are going to have trouble as sure as sparks fly up. But do we have to blame God? And the answer is absolutely not. Y'all with me so far? Keep looking. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself do not put forth your hand. Everything he has, but not on his body. You don't touch his body. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Wow. Guys, I'm not going to get off onto all what we could talk about right there in that verse because I don't understand it all. But I do know this. A lot of the trouble I've gone through in my life and even the hurt that I've endured in my life, I have a hard time wrestling with it and recognizing how God allowed that. I don't like Him allowing that in my life. So I'm faced with, do I blame Him? Or is there another way I can respond? Did you hear me or not? It's quite a message, quite a thought today. I just called this little section, There Was a Day. And by the way, there's going to be a day in your life. There is coming a day when your knees are going to hit the ground. I'm not talking about at the judgment. I'm talking about in this life when trouble's going to be so bad. And you hurt so bad, you'll roll up into a ball. And some of you have already experienced that. Some of you haven't. You live long enough, you will. Sure is the sparks fly what? Up. There was a day when his sons and his daughters, they were eating, they're drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, family time. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. The Sabians fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another also that said, the fire of God's fallen from heaven, has burned up the sheep. The servants consumed them, and I only am here to tell you, I'm the only one saved alive. While he was yet speaking, there came somebody else, another of the Chaldeans, made out three bands. They fell upon the camels. They carried them away. They slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I'm the only one left alive. Boy, it's a bad, 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 bad. That's why if Job was here, we'd set out hush. It ain't over. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and he said, your sons and your daughters, they were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men and your kids. They're all dead. And I'm the only one left to tell you about it. Wow. Man. Hang on. I got to get over that. That's pretty rough, ain't it? Y'all right? Say. Came to church, a man scared me to death. Well, it's what life is, isn't it? You ever had any bad news that was just so bad? It nearly killed you. Can I see your hand? So bad it nearly killed me. Yeah. We saw that last week with Paul, remember? Here we go. What was Job's first reaction? Church, we need to listen. Why? Because every hand almost in this room went up and said we blamed God in the past for trouble. It's time that we stop. Whoa, I'm in the house of God. I want to listen today. Because trouble's still coming your way. I don't want to blame him because that's Satan's number one goal. So what was Job's first reaction to all this that happened? Job arose. He rent his mantle, his clothes. Shaved his head. This was also a tradition, but it was just what he knew. He couldn't show any more, angst and grief than doing what he did. He fell down upon the ground.
And he what? Worshipped. Now we'll get to that part later. Let's stay with that first part, though. His reaction. He reacted what? Guys, there's nothing crazier than saying you're a Christian, and when bad things happen, you respond like a kook. Guys, it's okay to hurt. It's okay to cry. It's okay to respond like a normal human being when crap happens. Okay, you understand? And not to spiritualize everything. Well, blessed be and God be praised. And now, there are normal some responses that's coming. But that's not what he reacted normally. I think sometimes people look at us as a little crazy because we don't think it's okay to be normal. Maybe I'm off on this one. I don't think so, though. Okay? Did you know you don't have to be? God never called you to be super spiritual, man. Or me. He called you to be salt and light. Not a Hollywood show. You can be salt and light by being normal, by living life normally, by responding, by reacting normally. People like that. You understand? Okay, everything doesn't have to be spiritualized, especially our pain. He was devastated. That's what he was. That was his reaction. He was devastated. He was grief-stricken. And this was the most spiritual man of his time. Number three, he did not hide his pain. Say that with me. He did not hide his pain. It's okay. See, you don't have to get God's back. Okay? You don't have to get God's back. See, as a child of God, you know, we got to really, you know, always respond, it's okay. We get to hurt too. You understand? And God didn't come off the throne just because pain came to your house. He still got it all covered. Amen. Say. All right. You're supposed to be a Christian. Why is all this trouble happening to you? Because I'm just like you, Jack. And it's okay to be honest. I think it's better than okay. I think it's right, and I think it's a great witness. When you let your pain be normal and real and react that way. Okay? Now, that's just what Job did. Now, we're talking about, though, Clark responding to trouble. Now, that was reacting to trouble. That wasn't responding to trouble. That's reacting to trouble. There is a difference. How did he respond, though? We saw at the end of that verse that he worshipped. Remember that? He worshipped. You saw that, right? Okay? What was his response? I want you to see it. He worshipped at the end of verse 20, which flows right into 21. We're the ones who put the little numbers on there. Those, it was just flowing right into it. See it? Say. He worshipped and he said this out of his worship. This is his response. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. We sang it this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was his response. Do you hear any blame there? Hello, yes or no? Is there some blame there? There ain't no blame there, baby. Let's look at it. Let's break it down. There's ways we should respond to trouble. And I'm letting the man Job tell us how. Number one, naked came I out, and naked shall I return. Naked came I out, and naked shall I return. And this is what I'm trying to encourage you to do. When trouble comes, keep the right perspective on material things. Well, I lost everything. I can't believe God let me lose the house. I can't believe God let me lose the car. I can't believe God let me lose my job. I can't believe God gets blamed for everything. Yes or no? Yes or no? Sure he does. Can't believe God let this happen to America. Can't believe God. Boy, why would people want to believe in Jesus? He's pretty bad. Why? Because his people are telling other people he's bad. We don't need the world out there to curse God. We're doing it. Blame, blame, blame. Or we're living in a fantasy land where we're making stuff up.
Come on, there's got to be a middle road. Yeah, it is. It's called responding properly. Okay, are you with me so far? Yes or no? So, that's number one. Now, you see that U-Haul? I hate to be too graphic for you, but you weren't born with no U-Haul attached to you when you came out of your mama. Excuse me. That's graphic, I know. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to put a U-Haul on the back of the hearse when we bury you one day. Why don't you, instead of blaming, go ahead and get that image in your mind. Naked came I, and naked I'm going to go again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job did. Look at number two. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. It's funny how that, I mean, it's honestly, I think sometimes we talk more about God taking away than we do God giving. What happened to the praising and the God gave and you know, and even in Job's life, it's not like he didn't have all those kids all those years, his young'uns. Even a tragedy comes, you still have time that you had. You still have memories that you had. There is a way to have a perspective where you don't have to blame God. Did I lose you or not? Okay, good. So, what's number two? The second thing I learned from Job, responding to trouble, number two, value your family and friends today. Value your family and friends today, because they might not be here tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll respond better when you lose a loved one if you loved your loved one while they were living. Spend the time. Make the effort. Have the relationships. And when God parts you or them, you'll be able to say, thank God I had that time. There's a way to respond differently. Yes or no? People can't believe it. All these years later, 22 years after my mother was shot and murdered, I still talk about Mama as if she was here today. You know why? Because I loved her. And love never fails. And love never dies. My love for my mother. Hey, if you don't like me talking about my mama, you probably need to find another church, because it's going to happen until the day this guy goes home to see Jesus. Because I love her that much and she changed my life that much. It's just going to happen. Amen, say. Doesn't mean I'm bitter because she was murdered. No. The opposite is I still have her. She's in the heavens looking down today. She's going, that's a good message right there, son. You preach it. Absolutely. She's forever with the Lord. And anything I am, obviously Jesus gets the credit, but Mama gets some credit. You know? And that's just because of that love. Or I could have blamed God for my mother being murdered. The part I do wrestle with. Did God know it was going to happen? Sure He did. What was Satan's part? Was it to test me? I don't know. But I have to look at it and go, well, it surely did test me. You see what I mean? But do you see how that kind of perspective helps? Yes or no? I think some of this message you might be losing. I don't want to lose you. Value your family and friends today instead of blaming God for taking your husband. You have the ability through the Holy Spirit to praise God for giving you your husband the years you had him. Yes or no, church? Yes or no? There's a family that sit on the left. They don't come often because they come from another city, several hours away, to hear us speak here. They watch their little 9-year-old get struck by lightning. Now, boy, that's you could be better, man. And they hurt and they struggle. Sure. But yet they thank God for the 9 years they had with that little young man. And that love caused them to go to a foreign country, adopt a young man who would have never had a life, and give him an awesome life of love in this country. When we blame God, it cuts us off to possibilities to the future, and it cuts us off from opportunities to bless other people. Blame never works, man. It's Satan's number one goal. Yes or no? I know I'm hard on you today. I mean, as far as this, it's a sort of a heavy message, but that's good. Number three, what do you say? Third thing, Blessed be the name of the Lord. What? All the news that man had? Oh, what just happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, here's the third thing to respond to trouble. We only have four. Here's the third one. Know that God is holy. And know that God is sovereign. Say that with me. Know that God is... And that God is... Or you can blame Him. Amen. Say. I don't know why we lost the house, but we got this apartment, and He gave us this roof above our head. I don't know why God took your little brother home so early, but he's with the Lord now. We have each other still, and we have the memories of him, and he's looking down in that great cloud of witnesses right now. He sees us. Or we can blame him. Do you see how you can do it? Yes or no? Say. Yeah, but I used to make this much money. I had this job. Yeah, but last time I checked, we ate last night. And we're doing fine, aren't we? Yeah, but I had the nice car. Yeah, but that one is rusty, but it, you know what? It got our tail from here to there, didn't it? Amen. Say. You see what you can do if you want to do it? Satan's number one goal is for you to blame God. Job did not do what? How do you know, Clark? Because the Bible says so. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God what? And that is what we do. We charge God foolishly and we blame Him. And yet God loves us. God gave His Son for us. God created us in His image and His likeness. Oh my goodness. Okay? So, responding to trouble. I wish his trouble was over, but I just titled it this, Job's More Trouble. No, it wasn't over. And the Lord said unto Satan, again, same idea, where are you coming from? He said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Boy, I just said, I have a hard time with him. Keep bringing up my name. Amen. Say yes or no. But at the same time, I want him to bring up my name. That he will look at me as a faithful man. Just how you look at it, right? There's none like him in the earth. He's mature. He's righteous. He is an upright man. He's one that fears me. He doesn't like evil. He hates it. And he still holds fast his what? Boom! Right upside Satan's head. Pop! You see the little battle going on in heaven? Pop, pop. Although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause. Wow. What's Satan's number one goal? Now this is my feelings. But according to the message today, what's Satan's number one goal? For us to do what? Can we say that a little louder? For us to what? Number one goal of the devil. For us to blame God. How many's not going to forget that? That's pretty easy, ain't it? I mean, I don't have to go to college to figure that out. Okay, here we go. And Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, and all that a man hath, he'll give for his life. You put forth your hand and you touch his bones. You touch his flesh. Say it with me. And he will what? He'll curse you to your face. What does that mean? He will blame you. A lot of people get sick. And their first response is, I can't believe God did this to me. Is that what happens? Yes, it does. There's got to be somebody on the earth called salt and light and believers in Christ who experience pain like everybody else, and we're not ashamed to experience it. We're not ashamed to react normally. But somebody has got to be salt and light that doesn't blame God. Guys, that's us. We've got to be that. All right? Say. Come on. Satan wants us to blame God. That's what he does. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in your hand. But don't kill him. Wow. Again, I have a hard time with this part of the Bible. I'm just being honest with you. I have a hard time with this part of the Bible. Not only is it part of the Bible, scholars, historians have given their whole life to study the Bible, say this is the oldest book in the Bible. So if it's like the first book, even though it's later, that's just also something that sort of boggles my mind. It's like God wants us to really get this out, get this clear in our thinking. This is the world we live in. You understand? Job's more trouble. So went Satan. Last time it said, and there was a day, but so went Satan. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord. He smote Job with sore boils. You can't get nothing more nasty on your body than S-O-R-E-B-O-I-L-S's. Okay? Now, we're not talking about a little pimple here. You magnify that like 150 times. Now we're talking. That's just one of them. Top of your head down to the bottoms of your feet. Satan knows how to hurt you. You understand? Oh, yeah. So, what was Job's first reaction? Here he's covered with this mess. Oh, my God. I can't even fathom it. I get a little boo-boo. And I need a Spider-Man Band-Aid. You hear me? That's Spider-Man Band-Aid. Come on. You know what I'm saying? We are weak, man. What was his first reaction? Don't forget what the other time he did. Let's see what he does this time. He took him a potsherd or a piece of pottery. Say pottery. Piece of broken pottery. And he starts scraping himself. Sitting in a pile of ashes, which is another symbol of just, repentance and pain and grief. And he's just scraping himself. That was his first reaction. Now, hang on, back it up just a minute. By the way, it's all right if you're covered with a bunch of boils to scratch yourself. We're not going to think that you're not super spiritual if you act normally. The man acted normally, didn't he? Yes or no? Okay? Sometimes as Christians, we think if we got an itch, we can't scratch it. I'm going to tell you something right now. The world's looking for Christians that will scratch the itch. Are you with me today? Be normal! It's okay to hurt. It's okay to scratch. It's okay to deal with pain in a real way. Without, well, the Lord, yes, yes. Well, I see you're covered with boils. Oh, yes, but no, I'm good. Amen. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Christians, we dress it up, put a towel on it. Get the hair right. Mm-hmm. Get a big Bible. Look at that. Yes, Jesus, amen. Ooh, yeah. Lord, help us. Come on. Well, we didn't see this response earlier. And don't forget, there's been a woman who's also been going through pain here too, Job's wife. Remember? Mama to the kids. That was also probably her stuff too, don't you think? Well, after this happened, his wife said unto him, do you still retain your what? Curse God and die. What's that mean? Blame God and die. And I'll be honest, when you blame God, a part of you does die. Isn't that the truth? When we blame God, instead of try to respond properly and keep our faith, part of us dies. And we definitely lose our integrity with God. Because he says, without faith, it's impossible to please who? Me, he says. Amen? So, she said, blame God. Now, here's the point. That's why I think it's Satan's number one goal. She couldn't even give another answer other than what Satan had already come up with. That is the number one goal of the devil for trouble in our life. It's for us to blame God. And she just repeated the same thing the devil said. That's the number one thing he wants us to do. It absolutely shipwrecks us. Well, what did Job do? This is the last one. We're done. But he said unto her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak." Now, here's a man covered in balls, still not blaming God. Yeah, that's odd, ain't it? Say. And then he said this. Don't ever forget this one. What? Say this with me if you don't mind. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive or bad? Last part. And all this did Job not what? With his or his response. Okay? So, what did we learn? Pop it up. We're almost done. Here's what he said. Number four. Hope you remember the other three. Number four. Shall I only receive good from the hand of God and never anything bad? That's how we are. We're the most ungrateful people on the whole globe. Americans. Christian Americans. I'm being ugly on you, but that's the way it is. It's the truth, guys. We got it made. People would love to have 1% of what we have. They would love that old broken down piece of crap car in the back that ain't run 30 years. They'd fix it. And parts of this planet, stuff we throw in the garbage, they'd have a Thanksgiving. It's the truth. Is that the truth? But you let something bad happen to us and we blame God. Horrible we are. Not trying to get on to you today, guys. I'm just getting on us. Gary's part of it. You know what I mean? Come on. Help us, Job. Job's trying to help us. Oh, by the way, he's part of that great cloud of witness down there today going, tell him. Here's the last one. Clearly understand. Number four, when you respond, clearly understand that both good and bad will happen. That seems so elementary, doesn't it? Just keep that in your mind. When you respond, when the bad comes, no, that's sparks are flying up, man. It's going to happen. Why have I got to let what's going to happen naturally cause me to blame God? It doesn't have to happen. This is going to happen naturally. This does not have to happen naturally. This can happen supernaturally, spiritually. I can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can put on the whole armor of God. I can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? I'm still normal, but I can be a man of God or a woman of God with integrity. Yes or no? Amen? That's our message. Job did not blame God. We saw that. He didn't sin with his lips. He did not blame God. We're done with the message. It's over. You know what Job did? Job did this. He said, regardless, God remains, and God remains enough. God remains, and God remains enough. One of those men didn't come into my house and tell me God is dead. No. They told me this was gone and that was gone and my kids were dead. But God ain't dead. God remains. And God remains enough. Did you get the message today? Okay, good. Let's praise the Lord for it. I thought pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good for our heart. Boom. Amen. Praise God.